Jesus was 33. Yeah. And we thought that what he did on the cross was a pretty big deal. So why dismiss what younger people are doing? Right. Then you've got Abraham. Thank God I'm not Abraham, starting that old. Yeah. During the service, God spoke to me and said, I want you to start fathering the next generation.
Even for our generation, many of us are wanting that father to come alongside of us and say, here's my legacy.
And no one's ever taught me this. Why? But then I was like, if this is real, and I believe it is, we need to lay hands on people because they're going to get better.
Yeah.
Right.
And that day we saw a girl with scoliosis get healed.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to this podcast conversation. My name's Angel. I am your host today. This is my co-host, Leah.
Hi, guys.
Today, we have a very special guest.
Very special.
He is a friend, and he is now the president of Timothy Generation Ministries.
That's right. I am so excited to be able to hear the heart, the vision, behind the scenes of Jacob. And just, you guys, you want to listen. You don't want to miss this. It's full of gold, and I can't wait to sit down and talk with him.
Thank you, Jacob, for joining us today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
I love you guys. I love KCM. I love everything.
I'm just excited. I'm driving in. I'm like, I miss the mountains. Every time I'm here, I'm like, I miss BC.
Yes.
Our country is so beautiful.
Yes.
And you guys are beautiful. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Yes. Thank you for being here. We're so excited to hear all of the details, all of the stories, all of the testimonies, what God has been doing in your life and in Timothy Generations. We're so excited to hear about that and what's going on.
Yes, lots of stuff.
Yes, so many stuff.
First off, tell us, who is Jacob Walda?
Yes.
Well, Jacob is me. I'm a husband. I've been married almost 6 years in May. And we've got a growing family. It's kind of a wild story of its own. Mm-hmm. And I am the president of Timothy Generation Ministries, which is formerly the Bill Prankert Evangelistic Association.
Yes. Right.
And we changed names because I said it's hard for us to have BPEA without BP. And Bill was like, why don't you just change your name?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing that one. So we changed the name of the ministry.
Yeah.
So I know we're going to talk about that later. And I love Jesus. I love people.
Amen.
And that's pretty much it.
So
I'm a
good.
Really simple human.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can tell. You say that. You know, I love Jesus. I love people. You can tell that. You like, that is what comes out of you.
Yeah.
And it's
true.
Honestly, like, really good to see and feel. And as a president of a ministry, that's really important.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I was talking to some friends of ours last night, Sebastian and Melkea.
Yeah.
And they were like, Melkea was like, so tell us, like, how do you do this with, like, all your friends? Because Julie's the same way, because she's more introverted and just, you'd never tell, but she didn't grow up like that.
Right.
And she was like, how do you maintain friendships? And I was like, honestly, I just love people.
Yeah.
And then you just find ways to, you know, make it work.
Yes.
And that's it. And if people, if you love them, you just find ways to interact with them. And you know, technology's great. So it's just like, I told them, like, I just love sending audio messages. Like, we've done that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like, hey, I love you.
Yeah.
And I miss you.
Yes.
Let's talk.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's a great way. So that's me.
It's very simple, right?
It's
simple. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
So
that's so good.
Ministry. Friendships,
family. Yes.
You know, this is what this podcast is all about. Like, you know, you have faith, journey, and ministry, and what God called us to. But then you also have regular, you know, life and people and friendships and I mean, so first off, with Timothy Generation Ministries now, is that the official?
That
name?
Is the official.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you share with us a little bit about the journey to it becoming a Timothy Generation? Or even even share with us about your book that you just released.
Yeah.
Because you just released a book.
Absolutely.
And we want copies of that.
Amen. They're right here for you. Take as many as you want. There's two.
Yeah.
So with the name, it actually originally was going to be Awakening Canada.
Okay.
And there was just this thing in my heart of like, that's our heart.
Yeah.
And then the CRA rejected it because there were too many other similar ministries.
Okay. Right.
And I was like, okay, then that to me was just like, I'm not over spiritual in some things, but I was like, okay, it was just like every name we tried three or four different variations, didn't work.
Right.
And I was like, okay, but what's really the heart of what we're doing? And it's really about raising up the next generation. It's about reaching the lost. And it's also just about bridging the gap between the two generations. And for me, the Timothy generation wasn't just about the next generation rising up, but it was the fact that Paul and that generation were gone.
Right.
And Timothy became the Paul to his generation.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was kind of what the heart of it was, is that now we're looking at, mm-hmm. you know, Julie and I are, you know, we're leading a ministry, and now we're looking at raising up the next generation behind us.
Wow, that's so good.
To bring them along, but then also being like, hey, my best friend is 80 years old, and we're going to walk hand in hand because we have to. And that's part of what it means to be in the body.
That is so beautiful. Wow.
But the whole journey of the transition goes all the way back to actually my very first in-person trip or meeting, I guess, I had with Bill. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We met at a church. We were unified over a vision, a shared vision. And I mean, we've shared this 100 times in different places. You can find it online, that story. And then 2 weeks after that, I was in his house in Ottawa and having a sleepover. And Bill was like, come spend time with me and my wife. And, you know, we did. And we were driving downtown Ottawa. It was in the middle of lockdown. So I had to hide my car in his garage.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the third lockdown in Ontario. And so we're there and we're driving towards like downtown. And Bill goes to me and says, Jacob, now I've only known him for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He says, I think what you and I are is like Silas and Paul.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't understand, but okay.
Yeah.
And he said, when you read the book of Acts and you look at what happened, Paul, you know, was this Jewish man that was killing all these Christians or martyring them to whatever degree. And then he gets saved and people are still afraid of him.
Yeah.
Because that was his reputation.
Yeah. Yep.
So Silas started introducing him to everybody and basically being that network builder, that relationship builder of like, hey, this guy, Paul, that you formerly knew as Saul, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bill said, that's going to be you and me.
Wow.
He said, I want to introduce you to my friends and to this country so that you would become that voice that people would trust. And then he said, one day when you read it, it switches from Silas and Paul to Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he said, and that's okay. Right.
Yeah.
And he said, one day it will switch where it's then Jacob and Bill.
Yeah.
And then he said, one day it will just be Paul. And I was like, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about that one today.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, that one's hopefully a while down the road. So, I mean, that was kind of the conversation we had then.
Wow.
I had no idea that it would be about leading the ministry.
Right.
I thought it was just going to be about being an evangelist and just being somebody that, you know, was an evangelistic voice in our country.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the wild part, was just like, it goes back that far.
Wow.
And
so. So when he asked you that, or when he shared with you that, how did that resonate with you of like this father of even of, you know, this evangelist in Canada? How did that, how did you receive that? Like, what did that feel like for you?
I didn't know Bill that well.
Okay.
And I really had no idea the impact that he had.
Right.
I'll tell you guys a story that you guys are going to love.
Yeah.
Especially everyone listening, because this is kind of how it was.
Right.
My first year at Copeland's Ministers Conference was in 2022.
Okay.
And we were in the back room, the green room. And I said to Bill, like, I don't know anybody. Like, what's protocol? Like, can I go introduce myself? So the only two people I knew was Jesse and Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
And so I walk up to this guy. I'm like, hey, like, what do you do? And I'm and he's like, tells me all these things. He's got a Bible college and like he's on TV around the world and all this stuff. And I'm like, cool. I was like, I work with Bill. He's like, great. So I go sit down and Bill was like, so you met Andrew Womack.
That's amazing.
And I was like, I guess so. But I had no idea.
Wow, yeah.
And so that was like, I think it's hilarious now because I know Andrew. I'm like, that's crazy. But that was kind of how it was with Bill, was like, I really had no idea.
Right.
To me, he was just this guy that I loved, that we had shared vision on.
Yeah.
I knew that he was a big voice in our nation, but I really had no idea.
Right.
So when he said that, I'm like, great.
I'm on board.
What does that mean? Yeah. What's the practical of all this? You know? And so that was kind of the beginning of that whole journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell us a little bit about what does the ministry do? Like, what's your guys' focus? Like, what is it you guys
do? For those that might not know, any partners or friends, share with us what you guys do.
Our heart is for Canada.
Yeah.
And kind of the vision of our ministry is the same as it was with BPA, is the scripture Psalm 72:8, that he shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And our ministry also takes care of the ends of the earth. That's our mission, right? So I travel churches, we do ministry, we do teachings, we do equipping, healing services and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have a mission, which is serving primarily Nunavut and Northern Labrador at this time with the Inuit communities.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And with the heart and goal of raising up Inuit leaders, discipling them, they've got the highest suicide rate per capita in the country.
Right.
It's one of the highest suicide rates in the world. Mm-hmm. And even this morning, I just found out that there was another suicide in the Arctic of a 13-year-old boy.
Oh.
And so for us, it is the place of like, what we're doing is really serious and it's life and death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And We take that serious. And so that's kind of what we do. You know, I love doing this kind of stuff, but I also love just being with people and being able to bring Jesus to them.
Right.
And one of the boys that we met, he was 13 and he had tried to take his life and never heard of Jesus in Canada. Never heard the name of Jesus before.
Wow.
And so when I was talking to him, when I was at the airport, we were just hanging out talking. Yep. And he said, I had no hope before you guys came and told me about Jesus.
Wow.
And so when you hear those things, it's just, it encourages you of just like, this is, the gospel still works.
Yes.
It still changes lives.
Still alive. Yep.
And he's still alive to this day.
Wow.
And he's gone through some incredible hardships in the last year. He lost his dad and just some other stuff has gone on in the community that he's been really affected by.
Yeah.
But he's not given up hope. He's still, you know, leaning into Jesus, leaning into the word. And that's,
thank you, Lord.
It's those kinds of things that we just love to see.
Wow. Yeah. So when you guys go up north, what does that look like when you go up to minister there? You just, you connect with people, you...
Sometimes it's different.
Yeah.
We do all kinds of stuff. So we, like, I tell our teams, so we send teams across the north. We're kind of there for three reasons.
Right.
So the first one is to encourage local believers.
Right.
So in every community, there's a handful. It could be a small handful or a big handful. So we want to encourage them.
Yeah.
And I was in a community a year and a half ago, and I was their first visitor, Christian visitor outside of before COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it had been 3 years at that point that they had not had a guest. Imagine not having a guest preacher, anybody visit your church.
Yep. Right.
Yep. And that's just you and your community.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was there, encourage local believers. Then we want to equip them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reach people in your own community? How do you disciple people that are getting saved? How do you pray for the sick?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last thing we want to do is evangelism. So we've we do door to door in some communities. We they love Facebook. They're all on Facebook there. So we just post on their Facebook groups like, hey, we're here if you want visits.
Right.
And we've had some great open doors that way. We get people who are like, hey, please come. I have things being thrown around my house. I think it's a demon. And we're like, okay, so we'll come over
we'll
pray.
Oh. Wow.
And other people who are like, I'm dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
And would you come? And it's been great. Like sometimes, you know, for me, when I'm there, it's not just like I'm always the one preaching.
Yep.
I was with these two women and the mother really needed some ministry.
Right.
And so the 2-year-old or 3-year-old daughter was just there in her diaper. And so we're playing for like 45 minutes because the mother's being delivered and giving her life to Jesus in a mess. And the daughter's like pulling on her all the time. So I was like, so we're playing. And so anyways, just funny story. I had a Kleenex. She kept giving me these Kleenexes because she was giving them to her mom.
Right.
And then I would ball it up in my hand and pretend to eat it. And I would just hide it in my palm. And then I'd be like, and just like cough it up. So she did that, but shoved it in her mouth.
No.
So the mom's on the ground, like bawling. And I'm like trying to pull this Kleenex out of this girl's mouth. And she just pulls it out and goes, ha, 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 ha. Right? So we did that for like 15 minutes because she was quiet.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So sometimes ministry looks like eating Kleenexes with kids.
Noted.
Yeah. So we're in homes with people. We're having services with people. We're just reaching them wherever we can. Yeah.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So you and Bill still get to do that together.
As much as we can.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill's so sweet. When we did the transition, he texted me like January 3rd and was like, I'm deleting my Facebook. I was like, why?
Okay.
And he's like, because you're leading out and I want people to see you. I don't want them to see me anymore. So I'm just going to leave. I was like, Bill, that's not helpful. Right. But that's just hard is that he just so believes in the next generation.
Yeah.
Like yesterday morning, he was with a couple of these young guys that he's discipling in Florida. Right. So he's got 5 young men that he walks with there and he's visiting with them every week.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's still doing ministry. Yeah. He's just doing things that he wants to do now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's done everything and he's just happy.
That seems like the most beautiful like passing of a baton that I've experienced of, you know, a leader that has been doing it for how many years?
They've been in ministry for 57 years.
57 years. Wow.
That's twice as long I've been alive.
Yes.
Like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And to be able to pass the baton the way that they did and to entrust you with that
and
see you take it and run with it with all that you have, because I've seen you run with it and you're confident and you know what you're doing.
And even as a father, for him to just be like, here, it's all yours.
Yeah.
That's kingdom. That's the father's heart. And I think that's what, you know, I've seen in Bill is his father's heart. He has a huge father's heart.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I know, like, even for our generation, many of us are wanting that father to come mm-hmm. alongside of us and say, here's my legacy.
Yeah.
Let's give it to you. Cause there are so many that, you know, we live in a fatherless generation mm-hmm. and that's what so many are looking for, is just to, for a father to say, you know, I believe in you.
Here's
my legacy. Take it, run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it, and I, oh man, it makes me emotional, but I find it to be so beautiful. Because that is the heart of a father.
Amen.
That really is. So.
Yeah, I was at a worship service in Ontario probably 3 years ago. I was actually still really new to being with Bill, probably the first year. And during the service, God spoke to me and said, I want you to start fathering the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, not a chance. I was like, I'm 27 or whatever I was at the time, or 26. And I was like, no way. I'm not doing that. I want to be fathered.
Yeah.
And he said, look around the room. He said, where do you see the fathers? And there was like four older men in the room of like 300 people. And I was like, fine. I might as well be obedient. So I ended up connecting that night with this young guy.
Yeah,
I met him once before, and he's a young evangelist. And what I didn't know was that all that week he'd been fasting and praying, because he was like, God, I want someone to help me.
Yeah,
because he knew he had an evangelistic call and didn't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was just able to encourage him. So we've been walking now together for 3 years, just recorded a podcast with him this week.
Wow.
So it's just been cool to kind of see that, okay, as much as I've had that example, it's now I feel like my responsibility to help raise up others that are able to carry that same mindset and that same heart.
Yeah.
To the next generation and to the people that I'm around. Like, I want to be that encouragement to other people of like, you have to father, you have to be a part of this.
Yes.
And that was kind of the heart with the book.
Yes. Share with us about the book. Yes.
Was like, I felt like I learned so much from Bill, right? Like when you look at what Jesus said, go and make disciples. I'd never felt like I had been discipled more than I was in the last 3.5 years.
Right.
So it's like we are spending hundreds of hours together in airplanes and in cars and in meals together. And it's like the only time we were apart was to sleep, basically. And for years, right? And it was like he had, this is another encouragement for people.
Yeah.
If someone opens their heart to you or their life and says, ask me whatever you want, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, yes. That's good.
And for me, I was just like, he said, ask anything. And I would.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. I would ask everything of like, when I first started, I'm like, why are you friends with Brother Copeland? Right. I wasn't against them at the time.
Right.
Because I had dealt with that, but I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Right. Because people are saying all these things and it was, I didn't understand. So why are you friends with them?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, you had a word of knowledge, but that sounded like a word of knowledge you had last time. Right. So I was asking like hard questions.
Yeah. Yes.
And then it was just like, how do you do this? Like you've been married, they've been married 60 years.
Wow.
How do you do that? Mm.
That's so
right.
Good.
So what are the, what are the successes?
Yes.
But then I wasn't just asking questions. I wanted to learn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm stupid. If I don't receive something and my life's not changed because they've been married twice as long as I've been alive, been in ministry almost as double my lifetime. That's significant. They've done a lot of stuff.
That's huge.
It's a lot to learn from.
I just kind of leaned into the space of like, I actually want to learn.
Yes.
And I'm not going to think that I know better.
Oh,
and I might disagree on some things, but obviously whatever they're doing is working. And they've clearly figured something out.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So some of that was like the lessons I wanted to pour into here.
That's good.
And the next part was I was reading in Judges. And it talks about, I think Judges chapter 2, where it says that once Joshua and the elders of that generation passed, they were in the promised land, had conquered their enemies. They all died. And then it says, then came a generation that neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So they go set up the Asherah poles and the Baals and they worship all these other gods. They forsake the God that brought them into the promised land. And I was just reading that. I'm like, that's us. That's my generation. It's like, you look at people like Brother Copeland's generation or, you know, Pastor Terry. And it's like, they're the generation that's seen God do things. They sat with the like Oral Roberts and the, you know, the Branhams and the A. Allens and Catherine Coleman's. They've seen that. But now there's come a generation that doesn't really know God. They have no concept of who he is other than what, you know, the media has been telling them. Right. And all the bad stuff. And so they're just doing their own thing. And I was like, we actually need to hear these stories of what God is doing. And so part of it, I talked to our generation of like, you need to shut up about some things that don't matter. Right. And then
that's
to the older generation of like, you need to start speaking. Like we actually need your stories. We need your testimonies. If God's healed you,
your
set
wisdom.
You free, delivered you. We need your wisdom, your insight. Like we need those stories. Right. Like, I'm meeting your pastor this afternoon and it's like, I want to capture stories about angelic encounters that he's had because nobody's talking about them.
Yes.
And everybody's like, that's weird. Read the Bible.
Yes.
It's weird.
Yes. Right?
The whole thing is weird. Yeah. This guy gets eaten by a fish. Oh, no problem. A holy man marries a prostitute. No problem. A donkey speaking. No problem. But God wants to bless you. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yes.
Right? It's right. Like, oh, an angel appears and gives Brent a message. That's a problem. Yeah. It's like, what? Read the Bible.
Yes.
Right? And it's just, so that I really feel now is part of what God's asked me to do with the ministry and with the podcast specifically is to introduce people to an older generation.
Right.
Yeah.
That have so much wisdom and insight, and I wanted to challenge people.
Yeah.
And then my wife and I, she's very much got a teaching gift. And I want to lean into that and be like, okay, with Heidi Baker, we talked about soaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is soaking?
Yes.
That sounds like a new age pagan kind of thing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that biblical?
Definitely.
What is that like?
Yeah.
Right? And so even in that's it's like we want to be able to teach people of here's how you can, where Jesus said, you need to abide in me.
Yeah. Wow.
Abiding is not just, okay, I read the Bible for 5 minutes. I worship for five minutes. I've abided.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Soaking is just this language really to talk about posturing your heart in that position of like, I'm going to wait.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm going to abide in his presence until he's here.
Yeah.
And I am aware of his presence.
Yep. Yep.
Right? It's like those kinds of things that we want to introduce the generations to is there's such wisdom that they have.
Yes.
So that was really the heart behind the book was just trying to put some of those things on paper for people to hear.
Yeah. Beautiful. So the book is aimed to speak to our generation, but also the older generation.
100%.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And then the last chapter is like for the older generation of like, hey, if you want to mentor somebody but don't know how, I literally give like practical steps of like, here's
that's
how you start a conversation with somebody.
That's so
like,
good.
Hey, would you like to get coffee? And I want to share my story with you.
That is amazing.
I
want
to hear your story.
So good.
It doesn't have to be difficult.
No.
Right? And it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Most young people like the experience of going to a coffee shop.
Yes.
Whether they drink coffee or not.
I love that you put that. That's so good.
It's like, so why? Just go talk to them. And all of a sudden you'll find out, and maybe you don't connect. I was like, it's like Christian dating sometimes. There's such pressure of like, this is the one. And it's like, no, it's your first girlfriend. It may not be the one. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, I prayed for probably over 10 years for a mentor and I would seek it out because I knew, I knew that there was something that God had put in my heart, but I didn't know how to get it out. And I was just like, God, I need someone to help me.
Yes.
And so I would seek it, but it was just that same thing of like, okay, that wasn't the right one. That wasn't the right one. That wasn't the right one until the day. And it's the same thing of like, okay, if you guys don't click, that's okay.
Yeah.
But at least you started.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go find somebody else.
Yes.
There's more young people.
Yes.
Right?
That's so good.
And then the other part is just like, there's some things. I wore my ripped jeans intentionally today because I was like, there's some things that just don't matter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, right? 100%.
And it's like, for both of us, like for us, I love the old hymns.
Yes. Yeah.
But some people are like, those songs are stupid. Are you kidding?
Nope.
They're the best.
Yes. I love them.
Oh,
me too.
But then it's the same thing of like, well, who cares? If I'm wearing ripped jeans or not.
Yes.
Thank God I've got clothes on.
Yeah.
You know, this generation, we should be happy for that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So and I think I talk about that too, of like, we all have to make compromises because it's important.
Yeah.
Not that we compromise on the gospel, but we compromise on things that are preferences.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that really just don't matter and they're hurting people and pushing them farther away.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Because I think, you know, with my, I'm just going to keep talking here.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
With my own,
yes.
own story,
yeah.
I think, because I walked away, I grew up churched, but I walked away because all I knew was like, I'm going to heaven and that was good.
Yeah.
So I drank, I did party things and all that stuff because I was like, someone, my understanding of the gospel was that it doesn't matter how much you sin, you're just a sinner and you're going to do that the rest of your life, but you're going to go to heaven one day.
Right.
I was like, okay, I might as well enjoy it then.
Yeah.
I might as well do all the things that people are saying I can't enjoy
because
I wanted to.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, that kind of left me in that space of like, I think a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
But it was like, if I had known that in the Bible there was more like this, like that I could see people healed and delivered and transformed and I could be healed and delivered and transformed and that I'm not meant to be a poor, weak, old, broken sinner in poverty because that's a, you know, God's going to keep you humble like that.
Yeah.
Like God actually wants to take care of us and he's going to dress us better than the lilies of the field that no one's ever going to see and how much more valuable are we and all these things that I'm like, oh, I never read those, but now I'm reading them and I'm like, that's amazing. Because I don't know that I would have walked away.
Right.
Right. Yeah. If I had actually known that and had an encounter with God at a younger age.
So what happened with you and with that encounter? Like how did you come to just all of a sudden be like, Jesus, I'm going to pursue Jesus and stop partying. Yeah. Like what happened in your life that?
It wasn't a one-time moment.
Okay.
I'll be honest.
Okay.
So I was in university, kind of in my Jonah story time.
Okay.
God had called me to Bible college in high school. I said, no, I want to be a basketball player. So I was a college basketball player for 3 years.
Yeah.
Got a really serious concussion and I was sidelined for 6 months.
Okay.
Wow.
The first 2 weeks I was sleeping 18 hours a day, just a mess.
Yeah.
Like 16, 18 hours.
Yeah.
And I remember I was so mad at God. I was like, God, why did you bring me here? Just to get me hurt. And God said, Jacob, I didn't bring you here. He said, this was your choice. That made me pretty mad because I was like, now I have no one to blame. Right now, it's on me. Yeah. And I said, what do you want from me? He said, I want you to go to Bible college. Wow. I was like, God, I don't know if you know all the things that I'm doing, but I'm not really the kind of person that you want for Bible college.
Yeah. Right.
So anyways, I moved back home because I was like, why am I doing this? Just a waste of time and money. Yeah. Moved back home, lived with my parents. And my parents actually started undergoing this transformation because one of their people in their church, my dad was an elder at our church. Right. And she was like, hey, like how often do you read your Bible? And my dad's like, you know, I read it here or there. And she goes, how dare you? Okay. And my dad's like, what? And she goes, how dare you lead this church and you not be in the word and you not know him? And you're telling people that they can know him and all this stuff and you don't even know him for yourself.
Wow.
And my parents were like, oh, what do we do? Like, we don't want that. And so they said, start reading your Bible 5 minutes a day and pray 5 minutes a day. That's it.
Yeah.
You can commit 10 minutes. And so they did. Wow. But that 10 minutes turned to like when I moved back, it was like an hour, 2 hours.
Good.
Yeah.
And they started to change.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
And they started to become like Jesus. And I was like, huh. I thought maybe there's something more to this whole Jesus thing than going to heaven.
Yeah.
And so I, to make that long story short, ended up going to Bible college that year. With my dad, because he's like, I've been disobedient my whole life. Wow. And at 48, they sold their home, moved hours away from their house and went to Bible college. Mm-hmm. And then my little sister, who had overcome fear and was ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I went and still had no understanding of the gospel.
Right.
So the weekend I moved in, we moved in Sunday morning. Friday night, I was blackout drunk in my best friend's backyard in the town I grew up in.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven one day, you know, but this is going to be my last hoorah kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And then in Bible college is when I started reading the Bible and I started having these moments with God, like a series of them. I would say it probably took about 6 weeks for my heart to really shift where it was, I knew that what I was reading was good and I started to allow it to change me. And then I would say the most significant one was I was reading in Mark 16, where Jesus said, these signs shall follow those that believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember reading that being like, no one's ever taught me this. Why? Right. But then I was like, if this is real, and I believe it is, we need to lay hands on people because they're going to get better.
Yeah.
Right.
And that day we saw a girl with scoliosis get healed.
Wow.
And had no idea how to pray for people, had no idea what to say. Yeah. We probably prayed way too long, you know, did all the wrong things, but we had faith.
Yeah. Wow.
And I had no idea what faith was. Yes. I was just like, I'll just believe it. That's what he said. Yeah. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that started a journey. Like I started like immediately. Or shortly after that, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. I started seeing things in the supernatural. And I'm like, I'm asking my profs, like, hey, I'm seeing like demons in the dorm rooms. Like, why? And like, no, you've got authority. You can deal with it. I'm like, I get that. But like, why?
Yes.
Why am I seeing these, right? Yes. Like, I know authority. I'm understanding that. Yeah. But I read it, right? I read that I've got authority.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that was just like the journey, the beginning of the journey. And then over the years, you know, I had some people like Adam Shepsky, who's part of Disciple City, who really brought us. He was the first one to bring us out to do face-to-face evangelism for the first time. And so he was a huge inspiration for us. And, you know, my friend and I would just read the Bible. We'd sit in my dorm room crying.
Wow.
And I'd read until I couldn't see the words anymore. And then he'd start reading and we'd just like go back and forth. And so it was honestly like a progressive transition for a while.
Yes.
And I would say the most dramatic changes happened in the last 3 years with Bill. Because I was getting so much doctrine, which was great in Bible college.
Yeah.
But the life stuff was where I started to change. Mm-hmm. I started to change as a husband. I started to change as a minister. I started to change, you know, as a man.
Yeah.
And those were really significant to me more than anything else.
Right.
And I think, you know, it was just during that time where I was like, things of the world just suck.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They make you feel so yucky.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like they may give you temporary happiness.
Yeah, love that.
But then you go home and you're like, I feel gross.
Yeah.
It was like, man, I'd be praying till 3 a.m. You get up at 7 a.m. the next day. And you're like, I'm so excited to be alive.
Yeah.
Like, the world looks more beautiful.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That's so
good. Isn't that beautiful? Oh. And you just go so deep into the Lord, not just like there's the word, there's like prayer, but like when you just sink knee deep like into God, it's just like the world seems to just like not be like something that you want or desire. It's just you know, whatever, take it all. I just want Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. I love that.
That's so good.
Yeah. So fun.
Wow.
Yeah. And then even just like with our marriage, I remember just being like, you know, they've been married 60 years. Like how many people, you know, they've been married 50 years.
Yeah.
Right. Like they, Yeah. And so I think that really helped us. And, you know, one of the biggest things that Bill taught me was about love. Mm-hmm. Of all the things, you know, people ask me, like, what are the greatest miracles? What are the greatest things Bill's taught you? Yeah. Love. Mm. He loves people who are hard to love. He loves people who keep screwing up. He loves people who betrayed him.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. Not just he doesn't just talk about it. I've seen it firsthand.
He lives it out.
How many people have, like, literally betrayed him or said nasty things to him? And he goes, I don't know why, but I just love him. Right? Like, he told me that.
I love that.
And it's true. But it's just so sincere.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it was like, I've never seen this so close that someone, at first I thought this guy's faking it. Like, there's no way, honestly, because no one lives that way.
Right.
Like, I've been around a handful of people like that. I'm like, you got to be faking it.
Yes.
And then you're with them a long time and you're like, oh, that's you. Like, you're real.
It's real. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Oh my goodness. There was a question I wanted to ask for, as we're talking about a Timothy generation and the transition of it, can I ask if there's any future plans, any visions that that you guys are going into, that you're that you're seeing for Canada and for the future? We want to be able to, even as partners and friends, you know, as we listen, we want to be able to support and pray with pray for you guys and. We're so excited to continue partnering with Timothy Generation as a ministry. So we want to hear.
In the, like, more close future or the short-term future, I really felt like we've been doing things good for a long time.
Right.
And I think being at the ministers conference this year, I've been really challenged in my life as a human being, but also in ministry, to do things with excellence.
Right.
And I said to Bill, like, we've been doing a lot of good things for a while. Like, I've been doing our social media and our graphics and video editing, and it's okay. But I want to do things good. And I want to do it with excellence. Because I, like, we've been doing the Bible through the year. And when you read, like, Leviticus, or you read the end of Exodus, and God's revealing to Moses just the tent of meeting. Not even the temple, but the tent of meeting.
Just the tent.
And how... Like, it was kind of boring to read after a while. He says the same thing eight times. It's going to be this cubit by this cubit, and it shall be this cubit by this cubit. Right. So it shall be.
Right.
I get that. You said that eight times. We got it, Moses. It's good. You know, but what it revealed was just like, God loves excellence.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And pomegranates, apparently,
because
they're everywhere. So
I also love pomegranates.
They were on the cloak of Aaron, and they're in the temple.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Like, anyways, that's just a fun side fact.
Love the details. Amazing.
So for right now, our focus is developing things with excellence. So we actually hired someone to do media. And we've just actually brought someone on to do all our graphic design.
Wow. So
because I said to Bill, like, right now our generation is primarily online.
Yep.
We want to be able to reach them and do it well.
That's right.
So for the next few months anyways, with the transition, we're just kind of nailing things and to do them with excellence. We want to strengthen our Arctic project. So we've got five or four teams going this year. Into the north that we go in the next several months to do different outreaches and to work with local churches. And then we're still going to be traveling and doing all that. So it's just about a period of growth to make things better. Long term, we're working on, without giving too much detail because things are still in the works, but some sort of training center, Bible college up in the north. And we've talked actually with George and Terry as well as Joe about the potential of doing a KCBC North or having some sort of partnership. And so that's going to be, you know, actually a really close partnership in developing that. You know, I've got faith that we need a plane for the Arctic. It's you know, we were just talking with Neil here in the office and he was saying it costs more for his pastor and a small team to go to Africa, or sorry, for him and a team to go north than it did for his pastor and a team to go to Africa. In a better, like, premium seat.
In a premium seat.
So,
it costs more to fly within Canada up north in your own country than it is to fly from here to
Small
Africa.
Small team in premium seats.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You can fly to Israel, Australia cheaper than you can go to the north. And so we're, you know, my dream one day is to have our own ministry plane. For a lot of reasons. So that's something I've talked to our team and our board about, looking at developing, you know, the podcast. So we've got a brand new podcast that's coming out.
So excited for
Hopefully.
That.
Oh, come on. All right. If my laptop charges. But yeah, again, the heart of that is to sit down and capture the wisdom and insight of, of leaders and then be able to teach out of that, which I think I mentioned earlier. So we got the podcast and then also just like growing, doing meetings nationally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I talked with my assistant today or last week actually about getting out east on the East Coast, doing some stuff out there.
Yeah.
And then I'm still Bill's assistant. I always will be. So for the future, yeah. that's, you know, yeah. where Bill goes,
that's
I go.
Amazing.
So we're going to Sweden
that.
This year and okay. Switzerland okay. Wow. with our friend yeah. Jason Chin. So he's yeah. going to yes. be at the Timothy conference this year.
Oh, that is okay. so exciting.
Which,
we are so
partners,
excited.
For all the partners listening,
yes. Yes.
if you haven't had an invite yet, come to the Timothy conference. It's going to be in Edmonton, Alberta. And the more I meet with people,
yeah.
I have come to learn that it has not just changed them, yeah. especially in Fort Worth,
yeah. right?
The crowd in Fort Worth, but also Pastor George and Terry,
yeah,
and how impactful that it's been for them.
Yeah,
so it's been if it's good for them, it's good for you.
Yeah.
So come and join us.
Amen.
So that's going to be in August, and yeah. you guys will hear more about that. Pastor Terry's going to be with us.
Yeah. Yes.
Jason Chin is going to
yes.
be with us.
That's right.
He's, I met him, and just like the first weekend, I was like, "You're going to speak at our conference."
Wow.
And Bill was like, "Do you know him really well?" I was like, "No," but it was like when we met, you're just like, "I'm going to be your friend."
Yes.
I'm just going to be your friend.
Yeah. yeah.
That's awesome.
That
is
so awesome. He's coming. Bill will be there, of course.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Robert Slayerton will be with us
yes.
again from the God's
oh.
General series.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
And
we
we'll be closing the night as we always do, joining hands, Bill and I yeah. together, joining the generation,
wow.
merging anointings, laying
so
hands
good.
On everybody.
So
and
good.
It's been wild.
Oh. Yes.
Those times have
wow.
just been
yeah.
Holy Ghost
yes.
and fire. So
yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, and still developing things in the North. You
yeah.
know, we've got a handful of different communities that people have asked us to come to.
Right.
And looking
yeah,
at church
right.
partnerships, church planting.
Yeah.
We're looking at, you know, new outreaches.
Yeah.
And just, you know, partnerships with people like Terrell Smith
yep, yep.
and Come Together. So
yes.
we're very busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
my problem. Not my problem. My
blessing.
yeah. From the Lord.
Yeah.
Is I'm a dreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn. One of these things I've had to learn as a leader is to not dream beyond where I'm at right now.
Right. Mm.
Because I can get so fixated on like,
right.
okay, 10 years down the road.
Right. Right.
This is where I want to be and just get stuck trying mm-hmm. to get there instead
right.
of just being like, are we doing things now with excellence? Mm-hmm. Or are we dropping the
That's
ball?
Good. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's good.
And I remember
yeah.
Jesse, Brother Jesse talking about it with the plane
yep. mm-hmm.
that he's got now where it's like, but he didn't have a hangar.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was his mechanics had to be retrained because
right.
it was a higher quality or a different engine or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it was just like a number of things that had to happen.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, but we're not ready for a plane.
Right.
So why would I get so stressed out worrying about that?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but God's blessing us right now with the potential of having, you know, free flights.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Which would be wild.
That's amazing.
Right? And so it's like, so that's a blessing as we continue to progress.
Yes.
And as God continues to open doors for things.
Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, that's my thing is I have to slow down in my own heart because mm-hmm. I want to do more.
Yeah.
you know, I have
yeah.
lots of dreams, lots of visions,
yeah.
but it's
yeah.
like, okay, I can't,
yeah.
I can't do that yet.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm not stepping out of disobedience.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in obedience and mm-hmm. I'm doing it with excellence.
That's yeah. so good.
And what, that's what it's about for us.
One yes. thing that we've learned here in this ministry is what to do with those visions. And one thing that we have done with our visions, we've put them down. If you see a plane, get
mm-hmm.
a picture of that plane, put it down somewhere so you can look at it, that
yeah.
that is where you want to go
yeah.
Because God is wanting to take you there. And we did that with our dream house. We
yeah.
have, and you'll see it at our house, we'll have, we have this, our dream home.
Yeah.
And it's like pictures of these huge homes that, honestly, I don't know if we should ever have a home that big. Our son put a baseball field in the backyard.
Yes.
Field of dreams,
yes,
right? Come
there
on.
We go, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's where this ministry has really taught us, like, you know, put your dreams, like put them, lay them out.
Mm.
And so that we can, you know, believe and stand and pray together
yeah.
towards it.
Yeah.
So we believe that the ministry will have a plane
yes.
one day.
Amen.
That you guys
so
can
good.
Fly out
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
and have an airline.
Yeah.
All the teams can fly wherever
right.
they need.
Amen.
Yeah.
A whole fleet.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Come on.
That's yeah. so good. Jacob, if you could say anything to somebody in our generation that may be looking for a father to mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned practically you did put some steps in your
mm-hmm.
in your book, but what would you say to somebody who's like, who may not have a mentor or a father in their life right now in this moment. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they're asking the Lord, they're praying about it. What
mm-hmm.
what would you say to them at that point?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is pursuing, right? Like asking the Lord, like, where am I meant to be?
Yeah.
Right? Like the night I met Bill, God spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he
mm-hmm.
said, you need to go to that service.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't want to go. right? And I think there's times where God wants to reveal things,
mm-hmm.
but we just don't slow down enough to listen.
Right.
And I think I learned that lesson at that time of just like, God does want to speak a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. He does.
If we just slow down and abide.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
So part of it, I think, can be that. I don't think it's always that, but I think sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's pursuing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're passionate about business, we need people that are not just in ministry, but they're in you know, different areas of the secular world doing all kinds of stuff. So if you know a Christian businessman, reach out to them and just say, hey, I'm a young up and coming, you know, entrepreneur, and I want to just meet with you once a month, or I want to just meet with you once and just say, hey, can we just talk about life and business?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think people are more gung-ho, if that's the right word, like more apt to say yes to those kinds of things than I just want to pick your brain on business stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
But like, I want to talk to you about Jesus and business.
Right.
I think most Christians are like, yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
And then just let it flow. Right. Like I said earlier, like if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
There's no pressure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're out of God's will if it didn't work out the first time.
Right.
It's just keep going. So pray and pursue it.
Yeah. And what would you say to the older generation watching?
We want help. Maybe help's not the right word, but we want your wisdom.
Yep.
We want your insight. We want, like there's, I remember, I don't know how Bill got this lady's number, but a friend of a friend of a friend, she was an older woman in Brampton, Ontario, who Smith Wigglesworth laid hands on her as a child and prayed for her. And Smith Wigglesworth is my hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So somehow this 90 something year old woman and I end up on the phone together.
Wow.
For 40 minutes, 35 minutes talking, and she's sharing stories. Maybe it wasn't even that long. Maybe it was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
At the end of the call, she said, thank you so much for calling me today.
Oh.
I was like, are you kidding? I said that to her. I was like, are you kidding? I said, thank you. I said, you don't know how much this blessed me.
Right.
But I don't think that, you know, there are certain people that have said some things that aren't helpful. But I think there's a lot of young people that don't know stuff and are hungry for it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so many of my friends are craving mentorship and they're craving those testimonies because we need it.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, that's why we bring in Robert Slerdin to come to the Timothy Conference, because he's a wealth of knowledge of people in the past that our generation and everyone really needs to be encouraged by because it builds faith.
That's right.
And so I think, you know, please know that you're valued and that we need your voice.
Yeah.
And the second thing is like, we may be a little different, but you were different to your grandparents' generation.
That's right.
And please reach out to people and talk with them and spend time with them. Like we all want that.
Yeah.
That's so good. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Sure.
Can you pray for those that are watching, those that are listening? Just pray for them.
Whether it be the Timothy generation, the up and coming, the young ones, those that have so much to impart onto us, the younger generation. Just pray if you can.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I think I just want to say one last thing before that, just kind of in that line, is that sometimes we people tend to separate age groups as if it's like, it's a healthy thing.
Mm. Right.
But when you look at what the Bible says, like there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, woman or female in the kingdom. And dare I say, like there is a place for age and respect and honor.
Yeah.
But it also comes down to we're one body.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's like, okay, I may be 30, almost 30 years old, but Jesus was 33.
Yeah.
And we thought that what he did on the cross was a pretty big deal. Yeah. So why dismiss what younger people are doing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then you've got Abraham. Thank God I'm not Abraham starting that old at 90 something years old and has a child.
Yeah.
Right.
And Kenneth is about to be 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But I hope he doesn't have any more kids. I'm really praying that for him.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but there's that place of just like we separate by age instead of recognizing we're all part of the same body. And I think that's what I want to pray into, is that people would live that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, okay, you may look younger, sound different, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
My best friend is an 80-year-old man. I love it. I love him.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. And it's just, we are friends. We're not just ministers. Yeah. We're not just, you know, a Paul and a Timothy doing ministry together. Yeah. We are friends.
Yeah, right. That's
good. And we talk about everything.
Good.
We just talk about life. So, Father, thank you that you, through Jesus, purchased us to become part of your family, that we become all together co-heirs, we become a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we become your sons and daughters. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would stir in all of our hearts, Lord, whether we're young or old or in between, Father, that there would just be this heart that would desire unity, that would desire raising up the next generation, that there would be a younger generation that would live on fire, that wouldn't be despised because of their youth, but that they would raise up and stand up in this hour, Lord. We need young and old to stand up. We need Bonhoeffers in our nation to stand up against the things that the devil is trying to boast loud and proud about in this hour. Yeah. And so, Father, would you stir in the hearts of all the partners and all those that are listening right now?
Yeah.
That there would be a generation of people that would say, enough is enough. We're doing this together. We need each other.
Yep.
And so, Father, would you equip the younger generation to receive wisdom from on high and from those that have gone before us, Lord? And would you stir in the hearts of the older generation a passion to reach our people, us? And Father, that they would just be so filled with love and that they would know that they're loved and valued. That they may be at home and struggle to go out, but their voice and their thoughts, their wisdom is a value.
Yeah.
That God sees you and he knows you and that you are special and important to him.
Yeah.
So Father, thank you for this time. We just thank you that you care so much about our generations walking together. So Lord, would you do that across Canada?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Where can they find your book and your new podcast?
Yes.
Let us know.
The new podcast will be available hopefully by the end of today. I'm just kidding. It'll be by the time this goes out.
Yes.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
As well as everywhere. So Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Amazing.
And they can get our book on our website, timothyjen.com.
Yes.
And they can find more information about all our work in the Arctic and our preaching schedule and all that there, as well as Amazon. And Amazon's great because it'll ship to you in like a couple days.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's amazing. Right, well, God. Partners so and thanks. Friends, go and follow Timothy Generations on social media too. Yeah. You guys have a social media, right?
We sure do. Yes. And we're starting a new one for the podcast as well.
That's good. Amazing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, we're so excited.
And it's all Timothy branded. Timothy Podcast. So if you don't know, just Google Timothy Generation.
There
it'll
you
pop
go.
Up. So.
There you go. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you. Amazing.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for sharing. That was amazing. I am so excited for what God has for you guys next and that we get to partner with you and be a part of that Canada is being saved.
Amen.
Yep.
So
one last thing, if that's okay.
Yes, I'm an evangelist.
So it's always one last
totally,
thing.
One last thing. I remember at the minister's conference this year, Jeremy Pearson's got up and was sharing and he talked about not being ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
And and then he goes, I'm not ashamed of being Kenneth Copeland's grandson.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got in the car and I was like, I'm not ashamed. I love Brother Copeland. And Bill's like, why are you going to do that so loud? Right? But it's true. We love, we love KCM. Yeah. We love what you guys are doing out here. Yeah. We love Brother Copeland. We love George and Terry.
Yes.
And just what you guys are doing. So thank you for partnering with us and for being friends.
Yeah.
And we're not just partners and doing work, but we're friends and doing life together as well.
So good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, partners.
Yes.
Thank you. Hi, this is Nadine from Langley, British Columbia. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode has charged your faith. And if it did, make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. We also have a free PDF resource with study notes from this episode. We encourage you to download and go through it to stay charged, connected, and walking in victory. If you've been encouraged by this episode and want to help make a difference, consider becoming a partner. Visit the link in the description to learn more.